There, and welcome back to Seasons of Life on 101.9 CITR FM, the radio show where we talk about people's seasons of life and the music that accompanied them. We're broadcasting from the traditional, ancestral, and unceded territory of the Hukkamelem-speaking Musqueam people. I kunasi lam nama. Hello, welcome back to Seasons of Life, as you just heard, every Tuesday here on CITR. Hopefully, you guys have been enjoying the snow, if there's snow near you. If not, then enjoy the rain still, because we've got a couple more months of that. Anyways, I'm so excited for this pre-Christmas episode with none other than the handsome, talented, amazing friend of mine, Mr. Gilbert Lee. Hello. Welcome.
Hi, Shawnee. Thank you for that wonderful introduction.
You're welcome. I'm here to please. Honestly, if I didn't do the introduction, I don't think we'd have any guests, because I think that's what everyone comes for, right?
I mean, no, that's true. Yeah, I think we're just all here to vibe. I'm very excited to be here.
Well, I'm excited to have you. I've been begging you to come on, and full disclosure, Gilbert listens to music on YouTube and mainly like top 40 stuff, which isn't bad by any means. But I really wanted to have you on. So I was like, okay, well, why don't we just talk about a season of your life? I'll find some music to add to your season, and you can also add some as well. So we kind of are doing a joint show.
Yeah, it's Liddy. Sean is absolutely right. I listen to Nicki Minaj Megamix on YouTube while I'm working out. I am a basic hoe and I don't have great music taste. However, Sean has picked up wonderful songs that we've gone through together, and I think they do match up with my seasons of life, so to speak. And I think they're great fits, yeah.
So Gilbert, you said you want to talk about, you know, coming out and that whole process, which I think is like a challenging, touchy subject for every queer individual. So maybe you can give us a little rundown, like what was high school like for you, and you know, how did you approach this part of your identity leading up to university?
I feel like I have to, like, this is like the gay like interview that I'm trying to like set up for.
Yeah, it's we're trying to interview to be an author for the gay agenda. It's rainbow and sparkly. It's good.
Perfect. Yeah, my resume is stacked, don't worry.
With all the gay stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, go ahead.
I don't think I necessarily had a very difficult coming to terms with my sexuality, or a difficult coming out experience, I think, that a lot of queer people go through. I feel like I knew that I was, you know, like different or whatever, probably starting end of elementary school, starting high school. And then throughout that time, maybe like until 9th or 10th grade, I didn't necessarily know like, oh, I'm a gay boy and I like boys. It's more so just like, okay, I'm just like living my life and I don't love girls. Like I'm not excited. I'm not titillated necessarily.
Good word choice.
Thank you. with girls. But I did end up having a girlfriend in high school.
For those, this is our queer lingo. I might add everyone in so you can get in on the queer train. If a gay man has a straight girlfriend, it is called a beard, believe it or not. So yeah. Gilbert had a beard.
I have never thought about that, but she was fully my beard, yeah. we played video games together. She was great, but I don't think I was with her necessarily for the right reasons. I didn't see anything, I don't think, like, in terms of being attracted to her in ways beyond maybe friendship. I think that's where I was like, okay, well, why don't I like this girl the way that boys are supposed to, that horny teenage boys are supposed to like girls? I'm like, oh no, yeah, she's a cool friend, I guess. And I think that's where I was like, okay, let's see where this goes. And then obviously it didn't go anywhere. And I think that's when I fully started coming to terms with like, okay, you don't like girls, you probably like something else, and that something else is the D.
Yeah.
Yeah. As one which does. Is a little sad. It's a tragedy, I think.
That you didn't like
Kyle like the D.
Well, I mean, yeah, it's definitely not the easy path.
No, it really isn't.
Yeah, I think mine was a bit more tumultuous. I figured out in grade 6, Mr. Clausen's class, the new student. I was like, oh, wow. My heart fluttered. And then from that point onward, it was like, okay, yeah. It was like, you deny it. I would go to church. I was raised Catholic. So I'd like try and pray the gay away. And then when I finally came to terms with it, I came up to my cat, watched a bunch of gay movies, and then just like tried to find gay culture wherever I could find it. And then, you know, throughout high school, like varying degrees of repression, but also coming out to the odd person. So anyways, I think our next song does a really good job of kind of talking about that challenging coming to terms with who you are type thing. So we'll talk a little bit more after it is done, but our next song will be Earthquake by Tyler, the Creator.
You're listening to CITR 101.9, broadcasting from UBC's Point Grey campus, located on the traditional, unceded, Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people.
So that was Tyler, the Creator. For some background, Igor is kind of him coming to terms with sexuality, but also being between the love triangle of another guy who's into a girl and won't commit. And it's a real issue with the gay community at times, just because you have a lot of people who are at different stages of self-acceptance. So figured it was a good first song to add to that. Great. So where does our story continue, Sir Gilbert?
I think we should chitty chat about how we met, because I think it's an interesting story. So me and Sean have very different perspectives about how this whole thing happened. Basically, we met in first year. We lived on the same floor of Nootka House, first floor.
Nootka first.
Gang gang. But basically, one day, this was very much at the start of the semester, I believe, when I haven't really met anyone on the floor yet. To this day, still do not really know anyone from the floor, because I was very much like, sorry, bros, I'm not really here for this.
I loved the bros.
Sean lived for the bros, mama.
They were so good. We made an Instagram page called The Real Nootka Gang. The Pengu was our mm-hmm. like the Noot Noot guy. Maybe I'll mm-hmm. add that sound in. It was so good.
Yeah, Sean was in with the Friday bros and the jockeys, and I was like, I'm gonna go chill in my room and
studying.
Watch YouTube and study. go ahead.
Oh yeah, and then I, coming from a small town with not many options, saw a bunch of gay people my age, and I was like, what the hell, this is so great. And Gilbert was on there, and I knew that he was on the first floor, so I was like, no, this is definitely going to be it starts with a P, platonic. Mm. And I messaged you, I guess also just to see what you look like, because I think you were wearing sunglasses in the picture. And I think you thought I was trying to like hook up with you. Is that true? Is this?
Yeah. Accurate? Okay. So, okay. You're making it sound like I was like stepping out of bounds, but so I had something about cooking, in my profile, I think. And then Sean, his first message to me was, if you had a kitchen, I know what I'd use you for. I was like, excuse me? But
because I was you meant
it in a way like, oh, you don't want to eat residence food, you want me to cook for you. And that's how you meant it after we've cleared things up, after we like actually became friends. I thought you meant maybe sexy things. So I was like, sir, I think we live on the same floor. This is maybe a tad awkward.
And I was like, oh, it's no big deal. I just kind of want to, like, meet up. But you probably thought I was like, I want to meet up and do... But really, no, what I meant... And the problem is I'll say things and not understand how they will be taken by people, yeah, especially on Grindr. And, like, I just said, well, I would just use you as a person. Or, like, not use you as a person. We'd become friends, so I use your kitchen.
Yeah. And I took that completely opposite. Like, I was like, this man is trying to slide into my pantyhose in, but I'm not here about this.
No. But I'm happy that we ended up... when did we meet? Like, when did we physically meet?
I think it might have been, like, that same day, though. Or, like, the day after the weekend of.
Yeah, like, let's just go for a walk type of thing.
Yeah, I was like, this ain't it. And you're like, oh, I didn't mean it that way. I was like, I was just looking to hang out. I was like, okay, cool. So then... I went over to your room that one faithful Saturday morn.
So good.
It was okay. It's actually so cute or whatever, but I met you at your room. It was a tad awkward at the start, but it was fine. I think we were both wearing our UBC hoodies, which is
maybe
completely beside the point. Cause I remember you like pulling your strings or whatever when you were talking to me.
Around my face?
Yeah, when we were in dining room, and then you like pulled them until they were like scrunched up like a butthole in front of your face. I don't know how else to describe it, when you like pull the strings on both sides very tight.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Yeah, so you did that. But anyways, we met at your room. It was very like, ooh, cute and quirky, whatever. and then I think we hit it off like instantly. Basically, we went up to dining hall or to the dining room, and we got waffles with like berries and yogurt and stuff. And I remember we walked all the way to the end of the dining room, and we sat at the very far corner by the nice big glass wall, and we bonded over trauma.
Trauma bonding. We loved it. We talked about hooking up with the only guys who are near us, which happened to be older guys.
Oops.
Oops. So that's something, if you're a parent and you're listening and you have a queer kid, make sure you allow them to be social with kids their age, or else they will find those gay outlets elsewhere.
Yeah. Also, have healthy sex conversations with your queer children, because if you... Okay, I feel like for the most part, young gays will find an app and will eventually find an older gay, sometimes...
Very predatory.
Much sometimes. Older.
Yeah.
Yeah, sometimes predatory, sometimes 3, 4, 5 times your age or whatever. And they will pick you up in a car and your child will go do dirty, dirty, non-Christian things with this old man. And it's better that you know where they are and who they're with than having them go out and do this behind your back. Because you never know what might happen with these older gentlemen.
And as resourceful as you might think you are as a parent, your child will be more resourceful in
absolutely
divinity. Yeah, so abstinence,
yeah,
abstinence only sex education for your queer children, though it might not lead to pregnancy, is I think ultimately harmful for those people, because there's a lot of trauma in the gay community and a lot of possibly negative things. So
period.
Yeah. Period. And we talked about that. You can see why we're friends.
Yeah.
So, of course, given that, our next song is Let's Have a Kiki by Scissor Sisters.
Yeah.
A kiki is, like, a time when, like, I think it's when drag queens gossip.
Or yeah, maybe it's just... like a... Well, they have a definition of a kiki in the song, but basically it's, like,
kiki
where
is
all the... Yeah, kiki is party. Basically, it's where all the tea is spilt, where all the gays and the queers and the lesbies and everyone who wants to kiki come together, and they spill tea and they gossip and they chit chat and they hang out. And basically, it's just like a queer get together.
Yeah.
And it's lit.
And spilling tea means basically sharing gossip.
Yeah.
Spilling tea is spilling the truth.
Yeah, so. I think, yeah, that's very, like, main, like, my straight frat bro residents now will say, spill the tea, and that's, like, so funny to me.
Because it disseminates outwards.
It really does, yeah.
And it's really fun. It's cool. Because we're always at the front of the line. Okay, so here's Let's Have a Kiki by the Scissor Sisters.
What's up? It's Pickles. We have a message.
Hey, I'm calling you back. Ooh, she's been a bitch tonight. And by bitch, I mean this rain. No cab, nowhere. So I had to put on the wigs and the heels and the lashes and the ear and take the train to the club. And you know the MTA should stand for motherfuckers touching my ass.
Just desserts one may deserve.
Honey. So that was Let's Have a Kiki by none other than the Scissor Sisters. I guess where do we go from here?
Are we going to talk about boys now or not quite?
Well, the next one is We're Going to Be Friends by the White Stripes.
Okay, right.
I think we just realized we're going to be friends. All the waffle dates that we, like, little, like, we would have exams and get waffles and watch the snow. It was just like, I had never, I don't think personally I had a friend where I felt like, you can just spend that much time. I mean, I had a couple, but, like, nothing like that, where you, like, are bonding on something that was so shunned for so long, personally at least, and it was, like, a good, healthy friendship. You feel like when you find your people, it's, like, this feeling of, like, validation, but also just, like, it's not the type of people that have been villainized for you. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. And after meeting you, I was, like, was more into the thought of drag and other stuff like that I had previously told myself, like, no, that's so weird. Why would anyone ever do that? Why would anyone dress like a woman? Because I was, like, so... I had so much internalized homophobia. But then meeting you was like, oh, shoot. Like, gay people are normal people. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think, thinking back at it now, I don't think I realized this, but I think you were literally my first, like, queer friend. Yeah. I don't think I've met, like, an actual gay person as a friend.
Everyone just wants to hook up, at least at least where I was from,
and they're also very old.
Yeah, and the only person my age, like, I think I was the only out gay person in my, or not out, I wasn't even out in high school, but I think I was the only, in my mind, I was the only gay person at that school. I don't know why I thought that, but
you were, I think you were actually the first gay person around my age who is my first gay friend, and that's awesome. I didn't realize that until now.
That's why we're BFFs. So
yeah,
going off of that, the White Stripes, perfect way to add on to that. So we're just gonna play so we're gonna be friends by the White Stripes.
Fall is here, hear the yell, back to school, ring the bell, brand new shoes, walking blues, climb the fence, books and pens, I can tell that we are gonna be friends. I can tell that we are gonna be friends. Walk with me, Susie Lee, through the park and by the tree, we will rest upon the ground and look at all the bugs we found, safely walk to school without a sound. Safely walk to school. walk to school all by ourselves. There's dirt on our uniforms from chasing all the ants and worms. We clean up and now it's time to learn. We clean up and now it's time to learn. Numbers, letters, learn to spell. Nouns and books and show and tell. Playtime, we will throw the ball. Back to class, through the hall. Teacher marks our height against the wall. Teacher marks our height against the wall. We don't notice any time pass. We don't notice anything. Sit side by side in every class. Teacher thinks that I sound funny, but she likes the way you sing. Tonight I'll dream while I'm in bed, when silly thoughts go through my head about the bugs and alphabet. When I wake tomorrow, I'll bet that you and I will walk together again. I can tell that we are gonna be friends.
Rocket from Russia, weekly punk rock radio show on CITR, presented to you by Stomp Records from Montreal, every Tuesday at 10:30 a.m. on 101.9 FM.
So thank you. Welcome back to Seasons of Life after We're Going to Be Friends by the White Stripes and a quick ad. Hi, Gilbert. I'm glad you're still here. You didn't run away on me.
Hello.
Not yet.
No, not yet.
Okay. So I guess after we kind of developed our friendship, what kind of like, where did you go in your self-discovery?
I think a lot of my self-discovery are based on like my sexual explorations as a queer boy. And then in addition to that, also exploring what gender means to me. I think how my gender identity, my gender expression, and my sexual orientation, how those three sort of interplay, because they are not equivalent. But sometimes things can get like cloudy and they mix a bit. And I think exploring my sexuality in that way, and like in the sex way, was probably one of the biggest things that helped me embrace who I was as a queer, you know, young boy who was starting to fully accept himself after meeting you, I think. Being able to fully, just embrace all of the things that come with being gay.
Yeah, so when you talk about gender expression, and just for those at home who might not be that familiar with these terms, sex is biological attributes, a combination of chromosomes, hormones, and genitalia, among other things. And gender is the societal roles and expectations that you either adopt or placed on you based on the way that you present yourself. So when you... As an Asian queer man, mm-hmm. You've told me multiple times that there are almost imposed gender identities on you on dating apps. Could you maybe like expand on mm-hmm. that?
Yeah, absolutely. I think this is one of the most frustrating things about being an Asian gay man, are these stereotypes and sort of boxes that people put you into. Specifically, the stereotype that Asian men are like I don't even know, it's gross for me to like say it because I hate it so much. It's like they're submissive, like smooth bottom boys that want to like please often like an older white man, or just please a white man in general. And that is, for the most part, the role that people who message me on dating apps expect from me. They will, men will message me and be, do you want to be daddy's submissive Asian boy? I'm like, no, I don't. Like, absolutely not. I will be your dom daddy. And that's it. No, ma'am. Like, I don't want to be anything of yours. I don't subscribe to those stereotypes. I don't subscribe to those boxes. I think these racial stereotypes and even just stereotypes and labels in general for the gay community are very, very prominent. I think there's a lot of labeling that goes on in the gay community, a lot of racism in the gay community, a lot of body shaming. There's so much like nasty, not great things. Even though there are good things about being gay, and I love being gay and I think it's awesome, there are a lot of things that I think we as queer people, as a community, can work on to make our community more of a community and to make it more welcoming for, you know, everyone who is on the spectrum.
Yeah, I 100% agree with that. And thank you so much for sharing, because I think these are conversations that need to be had. I think a lot of people get outside of their bubble of the type of people that they interact with. So, and these like interactions ripple outwards. Like, so at least personally, I don't know if you feel the same way, but I found the best way to come to terms with these negative attributes of the gay community is to do some serious introspection and question my beliefs about myself and others to, you know, be that change that you want to see. Because with a lot of these, like, okay, why are we building all these mini communities within? Do I feel like I'm lonely? Do I feel like so-and-so doesn't accept me or blah, blah, blah? So I'm going to tack on these identities onto myself so that I can feel like I have a community and then pigeonhole myself into something. And I think by asking that, I think queer people can really gain a lot about, you know, why they might do negative things that, or things that are potentially harmful for other individuals, especially people of color, because, you know, those gender issues, I could see, like, when you started doing makeup, for example, did you find mm-hmm. it challenging to do a hobby that was considered more effeminate, given the way that people have spoken to you online, trying to maybe push back against that? Did you feel like you used it to kind of embrace that feminine side that you've, mm-hmm. I mean, this is a bit of a deep question. I don't know if you.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think makeup was another thing that absolutely made me fully embrace who I am. Because, you know, coming from the sound of my voice, I'm not a mask for mask, bro. I am very.
Bro.
Thank you, Sean. I'm very like feminine. I am a twinkie twig boy. Who acts like a girl, some would say, a sissy queen sometimes. And I think makeup absolutely helps me embrace that aspect of who I am as a person. And I think, like I said before, gender identity and gender expression aren't, you know, the same thing. And like Sean has also mentioned, but, you know, my gender identity, like I identify as a cisgendered gay man, but sometimes my gender expression, like putting on makeup, those things are traditionally what society would label as feminine activities and what women do and that men don't do. So mm-hmm. when you combine those two, I think it can be very exciting and it can be very freeing. And I think that's how I found makeup to be for myself. I love to do makeup. It's like creative. It feels like you're able to express how you feel on the inside, on the outside, as like, you know, whatever it be, like glamorous or colorful or fierce or whatever it is, I think makeup is a great medium to be able to express that outwardly.
Yeah, and the most interesting thing about gender identity and expression is I think a lot of people do have a hard time with the whole gender on a spectrum thing because so many people conflate gender with sex. Mm-hmm. And yeah. The issue is that let's say I want to wear makeup, it doesn't make me a girl. Like, I identify as a cisgendered man, but there are these, and they're social constructions because they're not things that we inherently do as humans, but these social constructions of women wearing makeup and men not, or women staying in the household and men working. These are all things that, you know, I mean, there's lots of arguments about how much is maybe genetic or not, but these abilities to transcend these binaries of I do this because I'm a man, I do this because I'm a woman, and I just do this because I like it. Like, that is something that I think, at least personally, coming out as queer and, like, hearing about, you know, queer or gender queerness or gender identity, it's been pretty freeing to say, okay, I don't actually have to do this if I don't want to. And just because I'm a gay man, I'm not a girl, you know, but I can do feminine things or stuff along those lines. So it's kind of cool.
Yeah, I think definitely that's another plus of being, I think, in the LGBTQ plus community, is that there aren't necessarily as strict of societal pressures for gender norms on, you know, like gay men, for example. Like, seeing a gay man in high heels or wearing a dress or doing makeup, I think a gay man feels a lot less pressure from society when they do that versus a straight cisgendered man. I think they definitely feel like they have to conform a lot more to those gender stereotypes. I don't know if it's because of, you know, toxic masculinity or whatever it is, the bro-y stuff, but I think that's another thing I'm very grateful for, being a part of the LGBTQ plus community, is that we get to experiment with these things without necessarily feeling all the repercussions that straight men might.
Totally. And just some more terms. Cisgender is essentially your gender identity and gender expression aligns with the gender expectations of the sex you were assigned at birth. So that's something, if you hear, oh, so-and-so's cis, it just means that cis means same. It's a prefix for same. Mm-hmm. So it's just the same as the sex you were assigned at birth. So, great. I feel like part of this show, I kind of want to educate people too, because I think a lot of people get scared by these big, it's very like liberal elitism where it's like, you use all these big words and stuff like that, and then it makes people feel isolated. But really, they're kind of simple concepts in the sense that, like, you don't have to do something because of your genitals. Like, it doesn't really matter. Really, in the end, we're all just on a big rock floating through outer space.
Period. Amen.
Great. So with that comes from Cupcake. I love Cupcake.
Yeah, you introduced me to Cupcake. Yeah, she's crazy. So good.
Cupcake, a freak. She's bisexual. She's a bisexual African-American woman. I don't exactly know where she's from, but she does it. And she's in rap. So to have all these different identities laying on top of each other, it's like, wow, her music is, if you listen to the lyrics, actually like quite good. Yeah, this album, which I believe is Euphorize, actually won quite a few awards for how well it talks about queer issues in the African American community, but also just she speaks very frankly about her life. So it's really quite good. So with that, this is Crayons by Cupcake, a freak.
Man got a man, that's what's up. Love is love, who give a fuck? Girl on girl, they like, yuck. But when it's man on man, they like, yuck. Motherfuckers need to go on with that shit. Bitch, we ain't playing along in no skits. Drag shows be so bomb and so lit. Throwing wigs in the air, ping pong and that shit. Lesbian, go on ahead and eat it. Get the dildo and Michael Jackson beat it. Get that pussy upset, get it heated. I might try since my middle name Eden. Gay guy brave, take your anal. When it come, that's a volcano. Tell her that the dick is your lingo. They curve that bitch like a rainbow. Boy, oh boy, girl, oh girl. Boy, oh boy, girl, oh girl. Boy, oh boy, girl, oh girl. Like, who the fuck you like? Fuck the world. Boy, oh boy, girl, oh girl. Boy, oh boy, girl, oh girl. Boy, oh boy, girl, oh girl. Like, who the fuck you like? Fuck the world. Fetty wop when I wink. Walk in a mink. Got a gay stylist, so he did my hair pink. Every time we link, it's fuck what they think. Gay bars need the stars, serving Skittles with the drinks. It's all about the taste, the rainbow and colors. The gays gon' serve you life like a butler. You know, bitches need to take notes in they binders. His dick might be tender, but he posted on Grindr. She looking like a whole pack of crayons. Rainbow colors, that's the gay bond. That's when I noticed she was bi, I said hi. Cause she tried to fool me and my guy. Ain't no confusion, everybody human. Get to know people instead of just assuming. Yeah, in conclusion, the gays ain't losing. Like boomerang, cause I'm all about their movement. Boy, oh boy, girl, oh girl. Boy, oh boy, girl, oh girl. Boy,
boy, oh boy, girl, oh girl. Like who the fuck you like, fuck the world. Boy, oh boy, girl, oh girl. Boy, oh boy, girl, oh girl. Boy, oh boy, girl, oh girl. Like who the fuck you like, fuck the world. Fuck a tuxedo. Tuck your dick, Neho. Trans shit to zop people. So I'ma treat them equal. Fuck a tuxedo. Tuck your dick, Neho. Trans shit to zop people. So I'ma treat them equal.
Redcap Records is an amazing artist-owned and operated record store. Shop from their diverse online music collection and get free shipping within Vancouver and the Lower Mainland with the purchase of two or more LPs. If you would like to further support them through the evolving COVID-19 crisis, you can do so by buying a gift card to use at a later date. Visit www.redcat.ca for more information.
Was Crayons by the Lovely Cupcake. What do we like about this song? Because I laugh sometimes at it because it's there's so something good. That's just so crazy, but also it's just so, it's really good. She talks about a lot of this. Anyways, go ahead. I feel you have stuff to say.
It's just, it's so disgusting and vulgar, but also it's like, she also touches on like stereotypes and, you know, like what, like there's social commentary underneath all this like hype and gross like things that she's saying, like it makes sense if you look into the lyrics. Here, wait, let me see.
Well, I mean, she does say like, okay, girl on girl, you're like yup, referring to the depiction of lesbians in porn. Yeah. And boy and boy, you're like yuck. And it's like, so let's say if you're a feminist, like studying feminist or gender, you'd say, okay, if we live in a patriarchy, then the people who create the discourse are straight men, right? So if you live in a society and you know, you're surrounded by a bunch of straight men who watch lesbian porn, but just, like, even glance at gay porn, like, gross, that's disgusting, like, blah, 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 then it's going to radiate out throughout society, right? And that's, I think, it's weird because Cupcake, like any good artist, I think really pushes the bounds of what's socially allowable in her music. Deep Throat, for example, like I talk about Deep Throat academically is almost weird, but like, she's moaning in the song and it's a song, right? Like, she's going above and beyond. I would go as far as to say Cupcake sprinted so that other people could walk, like the
like Cardi B could never.
She would never. That's
she
the
would
thing.
She would have, yeah, she could not have without Cupcake.
And like, Cupcake's music is so fun. That's the thing. It's like,
it's very fun. That is, yeah.
Yeah, when she went to Vancouver, like, I think you just had a bunch of people, like, just having a great time because her music is so fucked and great.
It's so good. So good.
And so what were you going to say?
No, there's, I have nothing else to say. I think you've touched on all the things I wanted to touch on, yeah.
So we were talking earlier and you were saying that the next stage for life is probably characterized a little bit by hookup culture. Can you maybe tell us a bit more about that?
Hookup culture is such a big part of gay culture. I think it's almost synonymous. Like, so much of being a queer man is hooking up, whether or not I think you like that. That is what a lot of gay men do, including myself.
Many gay men have commitment issues.
Work, yeah. Yeah, maybe work on it. Maybe don't work. Like, work on it.
I think that's why a lot of people have said when you're 30 or, like, 25 to 30 is like when people start getting their shit together, like gay people start getting their shit together. But yeah, anyways.
Yeah, no, I think it's just because I think growing up, if you're closeted, you repress all of that. You don't have the luxury, the privilege to explore your sexuality and to date and to meet people who are like you in high school or in elementary school. You don't get to see, you know, people who act like you and look like you and have healthy relationships on TV. You don't know what a healthy gay relationship looks like.
Yeah, because also, sorry, I don't mean to cut you off, but also in media, it's like gay men are depicted as promiscuous. And even though that might be something that currently happens, I don't think that there's enough emphasis put into showing gay men not as promiscuous and not as a heteronormative couple, as that is to say, like exactly like a male and female partner, but as a gay couple, whether it's, you know, because there's no writers that are writing about that or what, but it doesn't, you don't see it very often, those like little niches that make it different to be a marginalized, you know, sexual group, if that makes sense.
No, that's absolutely correct. I think, you know, life imitates art, mama. I think representation, you know, in all aspects, whether it be, you know, having people of color being featured in films, starring in films, directing, being in the behind the scenes, having queer people on TV, you know, just depicting queer relationships, representation matters. Whether or not, you know, some people agree with that, I think it's true. Like when what you see growing up on the TV is what will shape you and shape how you think about yourself, how you think about your relationships with other people. And I think that goes for, you know, me as an Asian person and also me as, you know, a queer person. There is no representation really either way. There's like barely any Asian representation in media. Queer representation is also very limited. So growing up and seeing no one who looks like me, who acts like me, who has, you know, these mannerisms or whatever it is, or, you know, have these values that I as a queer Asian boy had growing up, it's hard to sort of get my shit together. Because you mentioned how, you know, gay people, you know, it takes a while for us to get our shit together, you know, in our 20s and in our 30s. But I think if there were conversations about queerness, what it's like growing up queer, what it's like growing up as a person of color, these things will help us prepare for real life and help us prepare for healthy relationships and help us prepare for, you know, us growing into who we want to be and who we are going to become later in our life.
Yeah, totally. And I think about that sometimes too, because, you know, a lot of straight people that are part of, and I'm using like sociology terms, but they're part of like the dominant group, like they're white, straight, you know, they don't feel any marginalization or the effects of marginalization. The stories that they see in media helps them create an imaginary of how life works. But then when you're queer or maybe a marginalized individual, when you try and sometimes apply those things, it's like, oh, just work hard and you'll do well. Well, that doesn't take into account systemic racism. Or like, oh, just, you know, like go on a couple dates with them and then you don't have sex on the first date and then, you know, you're going to date them and then it's going to be great and blah, blah, blah. That's not really how it works in the gay community. And if you try doing that, then you're going to quickly find out that that's not how your life's going to be, at least initially.
Yeah.
So that's very interesting. And also like things like trauma, because...
girl.
Yeah, you'll have conversations with people that you're dating and it's like, yeah, I came out that I was gay and then someone told the entire school and I had to leave schools and then I was closeted in a new city because, you know, I'm like overcoming this, and then they're so repressed because they've been just hurt so much in the past and like completely like bullied for just being honest with people. And it's like, oh shit, like I feel so bad for you. What are you going to do?
Yeah, no, I think that's definitely true. And I think part of processing that and part of, you know, going through that is finding queer friends. And I think having that community definitely makes it 1,000 bajillion times easier to process those things and to have, you know, a supportive gay buddy to talk about that stuff with, or, you know, bond about it. To know that someone who has someone, you know, besides yourself has an experience similar to yours, who are in the same boat as you.
And that was the most, I think the thing that made me realize that you were going to be a really good friend is because we have so many shared experiences, mm-hmm. at least on the sexuality front, that mm-hmm. like, I don't think that, I think it'll be very hard for me to find anyone else who like is as frank and open about like, you know, life as you have been, and how well it's helped me like be like, okay, I'm normal and that's okay.
Yeah. I remember the first, I'm pretty sure this was also just like the first day that we met, but after we got waffles, we went to your room and we laid on the bed together and you had your little like fairy lights or whatever. Oh. And we were staring up at the ceiling and just bonding over what it was like to grow up queer, and what it was like to grow up closeted, and what it was like to grow up, you know, having the families that we did, you know, growing up in a religious household, all of that. And I think being able to just like lie in bed with someone who has that same experience as me and talk about it all night and just, you know, feel like a normal person almost. Mm-hmm. I don't know how else to say it, but to feel, you know, validated, and to feel that you are, you know, it is okay, whatever you went through or however you grew up, that it's fine. And that things will eventually be okay. And I think that is, at the end of the day, something very important that a lot of queer youth and queer kids could maybe use a little bit more of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and those good influences. In fact, I worked for a mentoring nonprofit, and they're trying to get a lot more, and this is like a shameless plug, but they're trying to get more queer representation in mentoring, because if you can get someone, like, I didn't know any gay people growing up, so it's like, will I be able to have a good job? Like, I don't know. So when you meet someone that's like, they're living their life, they have a family, and like, things are going good, then you're like, okay, well, there's a future, their path might look different, but I can get there. Mm-hmm. And that is something that people desperately need, I think. Yeah. So we're going to listen to Send the Addy by Flo Milli. So good. We'll do an ad, and then we'll discuss your first serious relationship.
Better watch where you step in, this Gucci is pricey. Hello. Like a snake on a loose, they gon' bite me. Put it on him, now he calling me wifey. He tryna cuff, but it's hard to indict. Say he like when I call him daddy. Tell him pull up, then I send an addy. She keep mugging me down, she a maddie. I got three bitches with me, they caddy. Slap a bitch in her face if she asking for it. I been up in my purse, now they can't afford it. Tell my nigga, then tell him good morning. I might let him hit if I get a little horny. I'm chasing a bag from the night to the morning. He roll up a bag while I light it up for him. To the bank, I be laughing, these bitches be acting, these niggas be capping.
Who gon' cry in a foreign? Yeah,
yeah. He want a bitch from Mobile. Nigga, we nasty and trill.
I don't think he can handle it.
I can't let him post me on the internet. Keep that shit on the low, I ain't feeling it. I'ma make him be quiet.
Why you taking his word and you know he be lying?
You keep stalking my page and you gon' end up crying.
If it ain't about the money, I don't got the time.
Better watch when you step in, this Gucci is pricey. Like a snake on a loose, they gon' bite me. Put it on him, now he calling me wifey. He tryna cuff, but it's hard to indict. Say he like when I call him daddy. Tell him pull up, then I send an addy. She keep mugging me down, she a maddie. I got three bitches with me, they caddy.
Now that I'm on, bitch, I get what I want, cause fuck it, I'm paid.
Bitch, I'm in the league, you a rookie, you late.
I sent them the addy, pulled off in a raid.
He a thug in the streets, but in private, he bae.
If I give him a taste, he gon' wanna stay.
You bitches be broken, I'm having my way.
Got your nigga on lock, he gon' do what I say.
I'ma make him shut up while I'm riding his face.
He want a pretty bitch, I know she don't like me.
Put a hoe in her place like she moving in.
Why she only act tough when she with a friend?
Punch a hoe, I might as well say I'm clocking in.
I get to the bag, I need all of my dividends.
Bitches be flossing, but I'm really living it.
Keep calling my phone so I know that he missing it.
Better watch when you step in, this Gucci is pricey. Like a snake on a loose, they gon' bite me. Put it on him, now he calling me wifey. He tryna cuff, but it's hard to indict.
Say he like when I call him daddy. Tell him pull up, then I send an addy. She keep mugging me down, she a maddie. I got three bitches with me, they caddy.
Welcome back. That was Send the Addy by Flo Milli. We're going to have a quick little commercial break, and then we'll be right back to kind of pull this apart. So thank you for listening.
TransCare BC works to enhance the coordination of trans health services across the province and offer expanded health services to support transgender communities. They are doing this by developing gender-affirming client-centered models of service, ensuring access to gender-affirming and supportive healthcare that is equitable and available, and supporting network development to make sure trans and gender-diverse individuals, their families, and healthcare providers have access to information, resources, and support. Check out phsa.ca to learn more about this program and lend your voice to help create an inclusive and supportive system for trans members of our community.
Okay, I hope you enjoyed those curated advertisements. Thank you for our supporters. And we're back with the amazing Sir Gilbert Lee. I feel like that was a pretty self-explanatory song. Let's fuck.
Yeah, period. I don't know. Like, there's so much rap that's like about, you know, getting hoes or getting that D and getting rich. I don't know how much I necessarily subscribe to that like narrative or how much I really want that, but it's just a bop and it makes you feel like good. I don't know, it's just, it's very empowering, I think, regardless of your gender and whether or not the rapper is getting that P or getting that D, they getting those buckies. And it's, I don't know, it's just so good. I think it's these songs just like make me feel my mother effing oats, and it's great.
Yeah, I mean, we were talking about almost the exact same thing with Karen, you know, Karen, in the last episode with Tovlo, because it's like, you aren't necessarily as promiscuous as Tovlo is or doing all the things that Tovlo says she's doing with drugs, but it is strangely empowering to go outside of your little bubble and be like, hell yeah, this is good. Mm-hmm. And rap is like really good at conveying, like, whether it's maybe more of an academic rap, like kind of some of the older rap, or maybe like Tyler's more like hip-hop and stuff, but yeah, it's a great medium for doing, saying this stuff and really getting people to think, I think.
Yeah,
so great, that's awesome. Now we're talking about your relationship. God. just go off.
Okay, well, the one who shall not be named, you know him through and through, you know the ins and outs of my relationship with this person.
To my honor, I'm glad that you tell me all the things.
I really do tell you, maybe too much.
No.
This man was so great. Okay, wait, like, how do you, what am I talking about? Am I just going through
Well, like our everything? First song is Bedroom by Litany, so I feel like this is probably a good time, and then the end is going to be, like, when you're breaking up.
Okay. Yeah, so this man, so we met on Tindy in the summer of 2019.
Like, what a good year.
And such a good year. Take me back. but yeah, we met on Tinder. We went on somewhat of a date. This is a very rare occasion for me. Basically, what actually happened was I had a volunteer training downtown. And it was over the weekend. I was like, oh, shoot, I don't want to commute to Vancouver, back to White Rock, and then back out to Vancouver. Let me just find a man to sleep over at, and I will use this man for his housing.
Which actually is not that, because I used a man for a shower in Iceland, and we're still friends to this day.
So. Yeah, it's not an uncommon thing in the queer community, I think. Even sometimes now, I'm like, oh, I'm working in Vancouver tomorrow, maybe I'll just sleep over. Well, not now so much with COVID, but, you know, maybe I'll just, like, oh, crash at someone's place or something. But
it's kind of fun.
It is fun. It's like a little sleepover. You get to hang out, and you meet someone new, and it's cute. But anyways, yeah. I've finished. Oh, did you have something to add?
No, I agree.
Okay. But yeah, I finished, you know, my volunteer training. He picked me up afterwards, and I thought we were just gonna like go straight to his place and just do whatever and then sleep and crash so I could leave in the morning. But you know, he picked me up and we went out for dinner. We walked around waterfront and it was absolutely amazing. We hit it off so freaking hard. We literally talked about getting married, like, as a joke. Like, we had that really wonderful banter that I think great friendships arise from, being sarcastic and just, like, being able to go off of each other's jokes. And I don't think I hit it off with anyone as hard as I did with this man. And he was wonderful, so funny, so charming, very cute. I think I was like, okay, this man is such a snacky snack that has a great personality. And yeah, I think that's how our, like, relationship, I guess, started off, and then, you know, things progressed. We, you know, just did regular things. We, you know, would go out on adventures on the weekend. We'd go out. We went to like this Greek festival. We went to the salmon hatchery. We did whatever. We did wholesome things. And then we also, you know, slept over at each other's place, and it was great. But then.
We'll wait till to get to the bad stuff after the song, because the song is very nice and like
really. Sorry. We have to do the song first.
Yeah, we'll do the song first. So the next song is, go ahead.
No, yeah, anyways, it was great. I don't think I hit it off with anyone ever like that before. And I think this man was the first man I considered like actually wanting to like date for realsies, because it was like somewhat domestic, you know, like cooking together and doing laundry together and all that.
It's a
nice feeling.
You tell yourself you're never going to have that because hookup culture is so prominent, and then you find someone and you're like, mm-hmm. oh, they're so great and it's so cute and so sarcastic and whatever.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It's a very hard thing to come about in the gay community, I think.
So then I think that leads to like making bigger compromises at times. So
absolutely.
Yeah, that's a challenge, especially when straight people are like, oh, there's more fish in the sea, and you're like, well, my sea is a pond and all the fish are like kind of like carp, like they're not that great.
Yeah, like trash fish.
You're like, you can still eat them, but then there's the one salmon and you're like, fuck yeah, I want that salmon.
Yeah, even if it's like not really great salmon, like you still, like compared to all the other poopy fish, you're like, oh, hell yeah.
And that's good, because then you grow with each other, but then that means that both of you have to mesh, and it's a challenge, especially if you don't have the time to mesh properly.
Yeah, and also, like, I don't know, like, how much growing are you supposed to do together versus already been grown?
Yeah, totally. I mean, I think that's, like, a great kind of way to lead into the next song, which is by the amazing duo Litany. If you haven't heard of them, get ready. Your eardrums will feel very nice after this. This is Bedroom by Litany.
I wanna call you, what's your number? Do you wanna meet me the day after? I saw you look over your shoulder. I need to know.
To my bedroom.
So that was Bedroom by Litany. I believe they're actually from Leeds in the UK. I'm not 100%, but they actually have a new release recently. So if you want to check them out on Spotify or whatever streaming site, highly recommend. They're so good. So because we already talked about this song, we'll go on to the next one, which is kind of the evolution of your relationship. So what started happening?
We can call it that.
Yeah, what started happening at the, maybe, was it 2 month mark or a bit later?
No, it was actually a lot later. This was like maybe 8, 9, 10, probably more like 10 months into it, I think. Or that's like when the real-ish, when the stuff started, I was like, okay, this ain't it. This ain't the tea. I think basically I started picking up on things that me and him differ very differently, or where we have very different opinions on, in terms of like where our values are, and you know how we act and stuff like that, like picking up on slightly racist comments, or like maybe not race intentionally racist, but like, you know, stereotypical things, or racializing certain things that don't need to be racialized, and then having discussions about race and about privilege that are just like talking to a freaking wall where it's not going anywhere, and you know it's not going anywhere, but you're like trying to have a discussion, and it's literally makes you want to rip your freaking hair out. And for context, this man, I don't know how much I should say, but he worked in politics.
He didn't do the identity work I think that he needed to do.
The empathy, ma'am. Like, I don't even know. So this white, privileged, rich boy from politics.
Charcuterie board every weekend.
Okay, maybe let's not. Maybe let's not drag this man for filth. Also, it wasn't him. It was his parents. Okay,
he's a good. I think he was good, but you know,
he was good. He was so sweet, and that was the thing, though. He treated me like an absolutely. He was an absolute gentleman to me. He treated me so well. But then when conversations around privilege and around race and that kind of stuff came up, the empathy and like this kind, caring person that I, you know, was basically falling in love with, that person was not there really. And it was difficult to have those conversations with him. And I didn't tell him this, but like I would basically like track like tally things in my mind. I don't know if that's a good thing to do or not, but when you have these difficult conversations and they say that they're going to change or that they're going to do something differently, they should. And I think what I was doing, I was holding him accountable. And when I saw that he wasn't necessarily making the changes that he said he was going to change, or I didn't see a shift in behavior, and then more things came up where we just so strongly disagreed, like to the core value. And these aren't small disagreements of like, you know, does pineapple belong on pizza, or like, what movie do you want to watch? It's like things, discussions around, you know, homelessness and homeless people and how they should be treated, how other people should be treated, differences between racial experiences. And having these difficult conversations was just not the tea. Like, we disagreed on like everything. I don't know. I think what I was trying to do was have him see it from my perspective as like, as an Asian person. But with everything that I said from my perspective, he had to rebuttal. And I think that's very much like a poli sci, like a white cisgender poli sci student kind of thing. It's like, well, to play devil advocate, there are Asian people that are rich. And I'm like, okay, like that doesn't mean my experience as an Asian person and your experience as a white person. I'm not saying that, you know, Asian people have it horrible and we can't succeed and white people are just like given, you know, everything and they are just like don't have to try in life. I'm just saying there are certain things, you know, in my life that you maybe would not have experienced that made growing up here difficult. And even saying things like that, he would have like a rebuttal for. And at the end of the day, I'm just like, I don't have the energy for this. I don't have the time of day for this. I'm trying to be a doctor, sir. Like, this is exhausting. And then I snapped. I literally lost it. Like, when George Floyd was murdered, and then Asian people in North America and Canada and the States are being harassed and attacked because of COVID and people being racist towards Asians, and they're, you know, Asian women being beat up in the trails, I'm just like, all of this is too much. I literally don't want this person in my life right now. And I'm like, and I just went off on him because I was just sick of it. I'm like, there's so much shitty, poopy, doopy in the world. And I don't need that in a relationship. Yeah. So then I just messaged him a bunch of stuff on Instagram, and I had a receipt of everything bad and racist and problematic that he does that I hold, like, that I know of, that I make a note of whenever he does, because every time I bring it up, he shuts down and it doesn't work. So then I end up bottling things up, and then it, I don't know, long story short, shit went down and I was like, bye. It was over it. And then that's how it ended.
Like, the fact that he couldn't just sit there and be like, oh my gosh, I heard that Asian people are getting, like, attacked. Like, are you doing okay?
Yeah, it's...
I feel like this. We could talk about this for hours, because...
I could, yeah. No. Oh my god. Like, even you saying that, I'm just like, okay, it brought up other stuff. I'm now, I'm like, ugh.
Yeah, so long story short, you weren't looking for a relationship where you just smile at each other and just, like, only talk about pineapples and pizza and, you know, do that. You wanted a relationship where you guys meshed on more than just superficial stuff. And when the push came to shove, it didn't work out. So as much as you loved him or was falling in love with him, you had to say goodbye, which brings our next song by... Mac DeMarco. Very sad. So sad. Yeah, this is Watching Him Fade Away by Mac DeMarco.
Haven't got the guts to call him up. Walk around as if you never cared in the first place. But if you never call, you'll end up stuck without another chance to tell him off right to his face. And even though you barely know each other, it still hurts watching him fade away. Watching him fade away. Watching him fade away. Watching him fade away. I know you never meant to put him down. If you did, he sure deserved it. The thought of him no longer being around, well, sure it would be sad, but not really different. And even though you barely know each other, it still hurts watching him fade away. Watching him fade away. Watching him fade away. Watching him fade away.
So welcome back. That was Watching Him Fade Away by the lovely one and only Mac DeMarco. Gilbert, you're the second guest with Mac DeMarco on their playlist, so you should be honored.
Really?
Yeah, Aiden Toy being the first.
Amazing, Aiden.
Gotta love Aiden. Hi, Aiden, if you're listening. Anyways, we're on to your last song. Yes. Can you, like, give us some info?
Basically, there's not a whole lot of background for me and my relationship to this song, except that it just makes my pussy bob. You know, it's just so, I think, sorry, for the straights out there, pussy is boy pussy. I hate that word so much. It's so gross.
Well, it's like I'll sometimes say that's just the way the pussy crumbles. It's so gross.
So gross.
I don't know why I say it. Like, I'm a good, wholesome person. Like, I might want to go and be a professional one day doing something.
Maybe.
And what if that comes up? I'm like, you used that saying. Probably not.
No.
Makes my pussy pop. So how it do does. You feel? So, yeah. So with Yeji, she is an Asian woman. Do you feel like getting Asian representation in the music that you listen to, like, how does that impact you?
It's just about seeing someone who looks like me do literally anything that is, you know, someone who looks like me who is famous, who is a celebrity, who is making amazing music, who is living their life and being like a bad bitch, is inspiring. Maybe not directly inspiring, but it's nice to see something else besides white people in media. As bad as that sounds, it's like, I sometimes just want to see someone who looks like me on the TV or on YouTube. Even on YouTube, where it's, you know, like content creators, there still aren't a lot of people who look like me who are like famous and who are on top of the platform.
Mm-hmm.
And it's frustrating to not have that. And I think it makes you feel seen when, you know, when there is an Asian person making Liddy music or on the big screen.
And that it's possible for you to do well.
Yeah, essentially. And that this world isn't necessarily dominated by white people.
Yeah, and only white people telling white stories. Because as more people of color are in the forefront of creativity, it's like...
Totally.
Okay, you can hear about intersectionality and more race-based issues.
Yeah.
Which is cool. Though this song is less... It's not necessarily like political by any means, or I haven't like looked super deep into the lyrics, but it is a very good bop.
It's just such a good bop. I think this is like, if I were to turn my where I am in my life, where I am with my sexuality into a song, this comes pretty close, I think.
Mm-hmm.
This song is just like, I'm strutting, whatever it is. I am in the gym. I'm blasting this in my eardrummies. I'm doing makeup, whatever it is that I'm doing, this song, it's like, it makes you feel yourself. Mm-hmm. Like, you literally feel, like, I feel myself every time I listen to this song, and that goes for a lot of different songs that are empowering, I think. Maybe not directly in terms of, like, their lyrics and stuff, but just makes me feel at my best.
Yes.
And this is one of those songs.
Absolutely. So you heard it from Gilbert. If you are listening right now and you're walking, get ready to enter into turbo mode.
Start your stuff. So good. Yeah.
Sissy that walk.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. Yes. The sidewalk is your gosh darn runway.
Hell yeah. So on that note, I hope you're feeling yourself I hope you're feeling yourself, especially if you're wearing a mask and, like, strutting around outside. Like, hell yeah. We're looking for that these days. We need more, self-love, just as we have to socially distance a bit more. I hope that you all have a great holiday season, are all staying well, are all, caring for one another, caring about the people who could get sick if you don't, you know, be vigilant these days. So... thank you so much for listening to yet another episode. Thank you, Gilbert, for coming on.
Thank you so much for having me, Sean. Thank you all for listening. I feel so honored to be tingling your ear holes today.
Yes, so thank you. for tingling our ear holes today, Gilbert.
Thank you so much.
Okay, so our last song, and we'll end the night here, is Rain Girl by Yeji.
Rain, make it, rain girl, make it. Mother Russia in my cup, and my glasses fogging up. Oh yeah, hey dog, hey, what's up?
Oh yeah, hey dog, hey, what's up?
When the sweaty walls are banging, I don't fuck with family planning. Make it rain, girl, make it rain. 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 Mother Russia in my cup, and my glasses fogging up. Oh yeah, hey dog, hey, what's up?
Oh yeah, hey dog, hey, what's up?
When the sweaty walls are banging, I don't fuck with family planning. Make it rain, girl, make it rain. 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 Make it rain, girl, make it.
Okay.